So, welcome to another FUBAR episode.
Hell yeah, we got an impromptu guest. We have Randy with us here tonight, aka Randolph. Just kidding, on with that one. Randolph,
that's me.
You were telling us that you're not a member of this VFW. You had kind of a funny segue into that because you don't smoke. And years ago, this VFW used to have a smoking room. And you said very, very convictingly, you don't smoke. You don't even wear a jungle. You don't even wear deodorant in the jungle.
That's it.
All right. So what can you tell us? What's FUBAR's story that came from the jungle?
Well, one of the things that, speaking of smoking, all the guys who did smoke, I used to get all their food because, you know, little packages of food that they give you to take out one package per day. There was three cigarettes. So I used to put the cigarettes in my helmet strap.
Okay.
And the smokers would run out of cigarettes and they'd come up to me and say, Randy, you know, give me a cigarette. And I said, no, what do you got to eat? We're out there for 2 weeks and, you know, food gets scarce. So they would trade me their food. Yeah, they would trade me their food, and I'd give them a couple cigarettes. You know, I thought that was pretty cool. I was eating good out there.
Yeah, no, everybody likes the bartering system with MREs and whatever rations you have.
That's it.
Now, you also mentioned that you were a part of a very interesting unit. You said you were part of the Boys of 67, I believe?
Yeah, that's a book that's out. It's titled Boys of 67, and National Geographic did a big show about us, and I went back to D.C. They invited us to go back to D.C. for the premiere at their main place there that they had, and we had generals there and senators and everybody else honoring us, you know, for what we did.
Wow.
Boys of 67, we were actually 9th Infantry, 4th of 47, Riverine Force. We were Army stationed on Navy ships, and we were on an LST, which is a flat-bottom ship and can go in shallow water. So we ended up going all the way to Cambodia and anchoring right at the border there, but then we patrolled in Cambodia when they said we weren't there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we were in Cambodia for a while, and then we just kind of patrolled all the way back. And we got rid of the majority of Viet Cong that were in the rice paddies in the villages, you know, taking all their rice and stuff. So they said we did a hell of a job down there, you know. So that was part of me.
Awesome.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I was a M60 gunner. So, you ever try to swim with an M60?
I have not.
Yeah, it's real tough. Half the time I used to just say, screw it. You know, it would be 20 feet across a canal, you know, so I just walk across. Just go underwater, walk across, hold my gun above the water, and just walk across, hold my breath, and come out the other side, you know. So.
Wow.
There's pictures.
Yeah.
Out there, and yeah, they got pictures of us guys doing that, you know.
We're going to have to look up those pictures for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Or if you have any, share them with us.
Oh, yeah, I got a ton. I duct taped a little Instamatic to my helmet. So every time I saw something or somebody was doing something, I just take a picture. I just reach up and click it, you know. So I got a ton of pictures of Nam out there in the swamps.
Wow.
And I, you know, the Greatest Generation Foundation.
Yeah.
Great organization. They're the ones that send a lot of guys back to Europe, you know, World War II, and some of the Korean guys are starting to work with them. They picked out 21 of us that were in a big battle on June 19th, 1967. And we went back to the battle site for the anniversary. And we...
That's incredible.
Three crosses there, and my best buddy got killed on that day. So it was pretty moving for me to go back and, you know,
right,
to honor him and recognize that, you know, we still remember him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So.
Wow, that's a great story.
Out of your times either on a ship with the Army, being a Navy ship with the Army, any specific stories that you can recall that you can kind of tell the audience members from start to finish, this is what happened? And
yeah, when I first got on the ship, I had a starlight scope, which is a night vision on my weapon, and I couldn't figure out. I wasn't getting any. We'd go in there only for 3 days just to dry up. They'd have to take us out of the swamp because we were in water constantly, and we were getting jungle rot and everything else. So take us out for 3 days, and they let us walk around in flip-flops and let our feet dry out. But they used to wake me up in the middle of the night. Well, I was on the headquarters ship, USS Benoit, and the Benoit was... They had an admiral on there, and this guy was, I called him paranoid, you know, because anything was floating down the river, because the ship did get hit. They floated down a mine, and it hit the ship, and it blew a pretty good hole in the side of it.
Oh, wow.
So he was a little paranoid, I think, you know, so they'd send a sailor down to wake me up to take my starlight scope up there with my weapon. And I look at it and I say, it's a bush. And they said, the admiral wants 20 rounds in that bush. So I just open up, put 20 rounds in it, and they give me another clip. I put it on. And it was, I got more rest out in the jungle than I did on that ship.
Keeping you up with that paranoia, huh?
Yeah. Well, you know, you get hit one time. It was.
Yeah, it's all it takes to shake you up and make you never remember, never forget, and always question.
That's right. Always question everything. So.
I've got a user submitted FUBAR for this one.
Ooh. Okay.
This is interesting.
Somebody wanted you to read theirs off. They didn't want to read it off, or.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Hell
so,
yeah.
So let's see if I can remember it. It may not be verbatim. But
it's FUBAR in your mind.
Yeah, and I'm gonna say it like as if I were him.
Okay.
Okay. So this gentleman, we were speaking just a minute ago about illegal stuff. Okay. Well, this gentleman wrote in. So like I said, I'm gonna paraphrase as if I were him. He said that he was in Chicago, and someone had offered him some like a little piece of paper. And they told him, put it on his tongue. Well, turns out that little piece of paper that they put on his tongue was acid.
Yeah.
And he said the last thing, so I guess I thought I was going to say as if I were him, but anyways, the last thing that he remembered was the next thing that he remembered was that he was driving down the road and they're in a thunderstorm, or I mean a snowstorm in Chicago. And he said he's looking, he's driving, he's got his, you know, the car full of friends, and he says it looked like Star Wars. Like he's fighting Star Wars. The snow looked like Star Wars.
Yeah.
And he's driving, he's like, oh man, I'm driving really good. And his friends are yelling at him, no, you're not driving good. No, you're not driving good. You're driving in reverse. But he was still on the road. He was looking straight ahead. But he was driving in reverse.
Oh wow, that's not yeah.
But he was still on the road while looking forward. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until his friends told him that he was driving in reverse that he looked back, and then all of a sudden
it clicked.
Yeah, and they went off the road. They went off the road into a ditch, and then like 6 feet, like a 6 foot ditch, and they were all apparently on acid. Yeah. And so they thought they were tougher and stronger and more resilient than they were, but they were actually able to undig the car from the snowbank and get the car back on the road.
It always helps when you're with a group of people too. Digging that shit out by yourself sucks.
Right.
That's wild. That's what a bitch like that.
So you said that was an anonymous podcast or anonymous FUBAR. They didn't want to tell it. They wanted you to tell it.
Yeah, that was a user submitted. So you guys just know that you can do that.
Right on, right on.
All right, I got a couple.
Nice.
I'll start with
a really light one, and then I'll end with a pretty bad one. But
I like it.
The light one was we were talking about boot camp stories. Mm-hmm. So I was in the Marine Corps, and a lot of it's a mind game. You know, they try to break you down to build you back up, get a nice base. So
mental mind fuck.
I went to boot camp with, or I met this guy at MEPS. He was in Philly too. I'm from Philly, and he's like a PT stud. Really good dude. I'm not as good as far as stamina as he is, but I'm decent. So we found out when we went to boot camp, we got put in the same platoon, and we realized really early on that no matter how loud you scream, no matter how right you do it, no matter how fast you move, you're not fast enough, you messed up, and you're not screaming loud enough. So so we realized no matter what we do, we're going to get fucked up. So we try to make it our duty to each other to get each other in trouble as much as possible. So we'll be online. He'll be like maybe a couple people across from me, we're, you know, standing at attention, and the drill instructor will pass us, and we'll like make a face like, what the fuck is he talking about? And if you crack a smile, like, and they're going to see it,
yep,
they'll take you to the quarter deck and fuck you up. And so I made him laugh. I don't know what it was. I don't really recall exactly what it was, but I made him laugh, and he like just laughed. And the drill instructor was like, yeah, fucking funny. So he takes him to the quarter deck and starts PTing the shit out of him. And like I said, this dude's a PT stud. So he's telling him knees, and he's saying, say ha-ha, aye, sir. Ha-ha, aye, sir. So he's like, ha-ha, aye, sir. But the way he's doing it, he starts looking at me like we're all doing our thing. And I'm looking at him, cracking up. So he starts actually laughing while he's getting PT'd. So the drill instructor takes him to the back, like nobody can see him. I'm like, oh, shit. I think we went too far. So he comes back. He's all covered in, he's drenched up, and he's like soaking wet. So after everything gets done, you know, we have our free time or whatever. I talk to him. I'm like, yo, what happened? Tell me what happened. He goes, man, we went to the back, and he PT'd me more. But I was still cracking up because whatever I did was so funny.
Just remembering your stupid fears, yeah, or whatever it was.
And then he said, the drill instructor stopped me, and he said, listen, you got to be serious. Like, the drill instructor had a one-on-one with him because he just couldn't break him. So I thought that was pretty funny. My second FUBAR, I would say, is I went to North Carolina for school. So we have like A school and C school. I used to be a helicopter mechanic. And one of our schools was in North Carolina. And North Carolina from Philly is about 5 hours. And I had just shown up the day before Thanksgiving. And they didn't get us a leave. Like nobody was around. I couldn't get my leave approved soon enough. So right. I was with a buddy of mine who was from Jersey, Camden. So it's like right over the bridge. It takes maybe 15 minutes away. And he's like, dude, I'm about to go. He didn't get his leave approved either. And I'm like, fuck it, let's go. Like, why not? So we go, we take that 5 hour trip. We had a 72 that or it might have been a 96, regardless. We go all the way to Philly. He drops me off at my mom's house. He goes to Jersey. And then when the time was gonna come, we'd go back a little early. So I had my mom's car. She had a punch buggy. and I went to meet up with some friends. I didn't drink. I wasn't fucked up or nothing like that. But I was listening to music, and I go and I see the light, and I think nobody's coming, and I T-bone the shit out of this dude. So immediately I'm freaking out. I haven't hit the fleet yet. I'm still in school, and I just T-bone this dude on some unauthorized leave all the way in Philly. And I'm shitting bricks, thinking, man, this is it. This is my military career. I fucked up. Because previously, before that, I got caught underage drinking in my previous school. So
you're thinking strike two and done.
I was like, oh, man, I'm fucked. But that's the second FUBAR. And then the third one is really bad because people super frown upon it, and I understand. I left the service a little early. I was separated more, for lack of a better term, because I popped for a piss test for smoking spice. And for people who don't know who spice is, it's synthetic marijuana. And like my whole squadron was under investigation because there was a ton of people doing a ton of drugs. I happened to be one of them, and it took like basically the rest of my term to get out. It took almost a year, so I finished my service a month shy, but I got out with a general under honorable. So yeah, that's my last FUBAR, really.
Okay.
I'm curious on the second one, the T-bone accident. What did whatever happened?
So I was just gonna roll the dice, and I'm like, I'm not gonna say shit to anybody. I'm just gonna let my mom deal with it. And it's funny that you bring that up, because several years later, my mom calls me and she says, "Hey, I have some good news." I said, "What?" She says, "So I never told you, but they were trying to sue me for that T-bone, that when you T-bone that guy for all these medical bills." The dude was faking. He was trying to like get a bunch of money. Didn't get anything. He just got his money for his car or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, that was going on. Every time they would call my mom, they were trying to get a hold of me to like appear in court to say what happened, and she would tell them like, "Oh, he's deployed," or "Oh, he's serving right now." So they left me alone.
So mom's had your back.
Yeah, she's nice. Always had my back. Yeah, it's been pretty crazy.
Intense. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
Got questions anyway.